Continue our journey. Last week we started by having a look at the Holy Spirit, and you remember we went to the Old Testament and had a look at the dry bones and how God fills people with the Holy Spirit and speaks to us. This morning I want to have a look at how we know the Spirit's presence. There's so much debate and discussion around the Holy Spirit today that it's sometimes difficult to know what is true and what isn't true. People tell us that you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you will be able to receive the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. Christian groups around the world want the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And there are any number of books or conferences or ministries that are around to give you an answer to how to get the Spirit of God in your life. Many people wish for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in another, as it were, Pentecost, as we see here in Acts chapter 2, where the Spirit descended on the disciples and gave them the ability to speak in many different languages. But in the first chapter of Acts, Luke gives us a true understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit. And for me, at any rate, it clears up some of the misunderstandings about the Holy Spirit. I just want to make three comments this morning. My first comment is Jesus and the Spirit. Remember that this is Luke's second volume. Remember how he starts this volume? He says, in my former book, Theophilus. What is Luke's former book? Well, it's none other than the Gospel of Luke itself. And in that book, in the Gospel of Luke, Luke tells us that he explained the work that Jesus began to do in the world. So look at verse 1 of Acts chapter 1, where he says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Now notice here just two things about these opening two verses. That there's the idea of begun. Luke doesn't say that I spoke all about the work Jesus did, but he says I spoke about the word Jesus, or the work that Jesus began right up until the time he was taken to heaven. In other words, what he is saying is that what Jesus did on this earth was just the beginning of a greater ministry that he would continue even after he's been raised and ascended into heaven. You see, his death, his ministry, the miracles, his resurrection is only the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. Now, perhaps you've never thought of Jesus' ministry like that. You see it as beginning with his birth and ending with his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. But Luke tells us this is the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. Now, in a few moments, I'll chat about how Jesus' ministry continues. But I want us to notice the second thing in these opening two verses, and that is in verse 2, that Jesus began his ministry instructing his disciples, how? Through the Holy Spirit. When Jesus began his mission, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and all that he did, his teachings, his miracles, even his death on the cross, and of course his resurrection, were all done through the Holy Spirit. Jesus depended on the Holy Spirit for all that he did. In other words, the Holy Spirit and Jesus had the same ministry. There were no two different ministries regarding the Holy Spirit that would do this ministry and Jesus that did that ministry. If Jesus was guided by the Holy Spirit while he was in this world, then the work of the Holy Spirit is the same as the work of Jesus Christ. And both were fulfilled through Jesus' ministry and Jesus' work. Some people might tell you that Jesus did one ministry and the Holy Spirit does something completely different. But hopefully we can see here in these opening two verses of Acts chapter 1 that Jesus and the Holy Spirit do exactly the same thing. And that is, they teach about a ministry of salvation, a ministry of repentance. Remember, Jesus' message when he spoke to people in this world was to repent and be baptized. And that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus now, in verse 4, promises that the Holy Spirit will be given to those who follow him. So really, we are led to understand that as Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit to do the task of salvation, in Jesus' case, to die on the cross, to provide the means for our salvation, as we are given the Holy Spirit, as Jesus commands his disciples to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit, they are in fact being tasked with exactly the same ministry Jesus had, to seek out people and to turn them and to get them to repent and follow the salvation of Jesus himself. Do you follow what the Holy Spirit is doing here and what Jesus is saying, what Luke is telling us in these opening words of this letter? But the second comment that I want to make this morning is waiting for the gift. After Jesus' resurrection and after verse 3, he'd given many convincing proofs that he was alive, Jesus gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. And then he continues, in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus knows that while he dealt with the sin of mankind, with his death on the cross, he also knows that this is only the beginning of God's great plan for salvation. If Jesus only died on the cross and that was that, how would we ever know that he died on the cross? Jesus' ministry continues as he ascends into heaven, as the Holy Spirit comes down on those who believe in him. So notice again two things about the Holy Spirit in these verses. First, it is the Holy Spirit is a gift. Now, what's the great thing about a gift? Often a gift is given just for fun. Maybe it's your birthday. Maybe it's some other great event. Or maybe someone just wants to give you a gift. And that's the Holy Spirit. And I think that's extremely important for us to understand today. For many people tell us that we have to do this. We've got to speak like that. We've got to do that and have a certain level of holiness, if you like, before we receive the Holy Spirit. But Luke tells us here in Acts, in fact, Jesus speaking here in Acts, and he says, wait for the gift. In other words, it's not something that you or I do in order to receive it. We are given this gift of the Holy Spirit when we acknowledge that the Lord Jesus died on the cross for us. There is no issue of having to attain a certain holiness or do something in order to receive the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. Perhaps in our modern advertising things, you often get products advertised like that. I know Edgar's is big on this sort of thing, and they might say, for example, spend 250 Rand on this particular product, and we will give you a gift of 100 Rand on that particular product. And in many ways, that is what it is like when we turn to the Lord Jesus. As we accept the Lord Jesus and what he's done for us on the cross, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. But notice here, and this is also important, that when Jesus speaks about the disciples waiting for the gift, he says that they will also be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now again, there's a lot of confusion about this terminology, about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And some people will tell you that Well, you get a bit of the Holy Spirit when you become a Christian, but you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit before you get the full amount of the Holy Spirit. But remember, as we discussed last week, that the Holy Spirit is not just some odd thing out there. The Holy Spirit is, in fact, God Himself. The Holy Spirit is a person. Now just think about the implications of that. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit, how can we have part of a person living in us? Either we have the whole person, or we don't have any of the person in us. And that is really what Luke is meaning when he says that we must be baptized by the Holy Spirit. That we are immersed, if you like. That's what the word baptism means, to be immersed. We are immersed with the Holy Spirit. So when one is baptized with water, it is a symbol that we are cleansed internally, that we are thoroughly clean in God's eyes. And so baptism has the idea of washing clean. And so when a Christian accepts what Jesus did on the cross, we are given the Holy Spirit through God's grace, not in part, but in its entirety, completely filled with the Holy Spirit. So what Luke is telling us here in the beginning verses of Acts is that when we become a Christian, we are given a gift. We are given a gift of the full person of the Holy Spirit from the moment of our conversion. So as Christians, we don't need to pray to God to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Because if we are a Christian, we are already filled with the Holy Spirit. David Jackman, who's written a great book on the Holy Spirit, says, as a Christian, we are deeply cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and we are immersed in the life of the Holy Spirit. The disciples had to wait a couple of days, I think it was about 10 days from Jesus' ascension to the actual Pentecost itself, for the Holy Spirit to come down. And I think why this was done was to dramatize and to illustrate what happens when a Christian accepts Jesus. That's not the normal way that things took place, even in the book of Acts. People were filled with the Holy Spirit the moment they accepted Jesus. We don't earn the Holy Spirit. We are given the Holy Spirit, and we are filled completely with the Holy Spirit. But notice here that Jesus doesn't just leave them here. Remember that Jesus' ministry was done with the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we are filled with the full measure of the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Why are we filled with the measure of the Holy Spirit? And this is my third comment this morning. For power for the task. Jesus began his ministry through the Holy Spirit and wants us to continue with his ministry. If every Christian has the Holy Spirit in them, then we do not have a different message or different work to what the Lord Jesus had. Jesus' attitude in the world was that all people should turn to him and be saved by him. Our attitude, being filled with the Holy Spirit, should be that people should turn to Jesus and follow him. You see, Luke says in verse 8 that you will be my witnesses from Jerusalem to Samaria to Judea to the ends of the earth. The ministry, friends, of the Holy Spirit is nothing more than proclaiming the message about Jesus' death and resurrection, about the salvation that Jesus brings into the world. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus taught when he was in this world. That's what we must teach while he sits in heaven. It is a ministry of repentance, turning people back to the Lord God, helping them to know what Jesus has done so that they can make a personal commitment to follow Jesus. I think the trouble with us as Christians is that the world has such a grip on us that we easily forget about the Holy Spirit and become preoccupied with the wrong things. We find the trappings of the world have more influence and power. We want fame. We want people to like us. We want material things so that we can keep up with our neighbors. Even in the church, we want people to think that we are more spiritual than others, more holy, and so we place more importance on certain gifts and abilities, and we try to outdo one another in our gifting. But friends, if we've accepted Jesus, recognize that we are sinners and that we need his help, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And the way we show that we are holy and spiritual is by using the gifts and abilities God has given us to be a witness for him. Have you ever thought of using your gifting and your abilities as a witness for Christ? But that's the way that we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. The way we honor the Lord, the way we show our allegiance to him, the way we thank the Lord Jesus for his death, is not just by sitting in church and coming to hear his word, as wonderful and as great and as important as that is. Nor is it by doing things in church, also as great and as important as that is. But it is by telling others about Jesus. We often wish we could be more like Jesus. We often wish we could have a ministry like Jesus. But we do. We have the same ministry that Jesus did. And it is our duty and our task to carry it on. If you and I claim to be a Christian and we are not a witness for him, then we're actually dropping the message of Jesus. We are actually dropping Jesus' ministry. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the person responsible for ending the ministry of Jesus. Now notice the language here in verse 8 as well. You'll notice what Luke says. He doesn't say you might receive or you might, or if you do this. He says you will be my witnesses. You see, friends, if I claim to be a Christian, then whether I like it or not, I am a witness for Jesus. People around us know we come to church, and they look at us, and they either turn to Christ because of what we say and do, or they turn from Christ because of what we say or do. The question is, am I a good witness for Jesus? Or do I end his ministry by painting a bad picture of Christianity? In the same vein, as we are now tasked with continuing the ministry of Jesus, we are not left to our own devices to try and invent ways to be a witness. Notice again verse 8. We will receive power to be witnesses. Again, this is not something that we have to ask for. It is part of the Holy Spirit, and it is given to us as a gift when we accept what Jesus has done for us. Now, this power here doesn't just mean like power. It means actually ability. The Greek word actually means the ability to get the job done. And so the Holy Spirit, as we turn to Christ, comes into our lives, fills us, and gives us the ability to speak about Jesus. We don't need to pray that God would give us more power or more ability. We are baptized or immersed in the Holy Spirit and have every ability and tool needed to share with the world the message of Jesus. Now, sure, not all of us have the same abilities or even the same tools. But all of us have the full amount of ability that God feels we need. I think the trouble is not that we lack God's power or ability, but that we fail to trust and obey God. We fail to believe his promises, and we fail to trust the ability that we have. We are scared to share the gospel, so we fail to trust God that he is able to help us, although we have his complete help. We don't know what to say to people when we talk to them, so we fail to take God at his word, which says that he will give us the words to say at the right time. Can you see what I'm saying? Can you see what Luke is saying here? We have the full power of the Lord God in our lives as Christians. We have the full ability from God through the Holy Spirit to do the task that we have been told to do. But we suppress the truth and we deny that we can actually do these things. We are more concerned with our image and how other people view us than we are about living out our lives in obedience to the Holy Christ that actually lives in us. Our message is the same message that the apostles had, that Jesus gave them, and our resources are unlimited. It is our faith that fails us, not God. For as David Jackman says, God is not interested in providing us with a fragrant bubble bath of spiritual ecstasy, but in our daily growing grace, our daily concern for lost people, and our daily readiness and availability to be a witness for Christ. That is what God is interested in, not in making our lives all happy and nice and fancy, but in us growing in God's word, in us being concerned for those who do not know God and are actually heading for death, and in our availability to be a witness for him. I don't need to tell you that we live in a messed up society. Xenophobia, crime, corruption, lack of service delivery, and well, the list could go on and on and on. And as much as we need to appeal to the authorities to rectify many of these things, we also need to show that as a Christian, we have the ministry of Jesus. We have the hope of Jesus, knowing that even if I lose my life, I'm still going to be with him in heaven. Jesus and God the Father have given us the presence of the Holy Spirit to help us to live for him in this world. The Spirit is not given to make our lives comfortable, but so that everything, the ability and the resources, are at our fingertips to tell the world about Jesus. Perhaps I can close with this question. Are you willing to let the Spirit rule you? Am I willing to allow the Holy Spirit to rule me? Well, let's pray. Lord, we do just come before you this morning and we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word teaches us that we are to be your witnesses. And we ask that you would help us to live for you. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to obey you by allowing the Holy Spirit, which lives in us, to work in our lives. Lord, help us not to give up on you. Help us not to deny you because we might be scared. But help us to remember that we have the full measure of you living in us, helping us to be a witness for you. And we ask this in your name. Amen.